All right, before we start with the episode of Gamer Tag Radio, I would like to say for those who are listening, this is your opportunity right now. If you would like to also become a podcaster and learn more about just podcasting in general, I have my first session on Bright, only exclusive there. It's called Podcasting 101, Finding Your Voice. It's happening May 19th, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All you have to do, just go to brightlive.com. All information and everything is there. Or go to the description here on this episode of Gamer Tag Radio. I have the links where you could join, buy your tickets. There's only a certain amount of tickets that is available for the public. So take advantage now. This is the first of many sessions. So exclusively only on Bright. You guys can have questions, comments, or even just learn from me about everything about podcasting, because I get a lot of emails, a lot of questions on social media about tips and everything about podcasting. And this is your opportunity to talk to me and interact with me on Bright. Once again, May 19th, Wednesday, May 19th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live only on Bright. So go right now to brightlive.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1128. This is your host, Danny, and joining me for this episode is Paris, the one that took over the last episode, solo.
Yeah, I'm the captain. I jumped in the captain seat for the last episode, but how you doing, man? How's things?
That was good, good, good. I took a couple days off. I was in Las Vegas, you know, visiting family and everything. It was fun. A lot of fun. My brother was there. Got to hang out with him.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. That was awesome.
Yeah, and he won.
Yeah.
He won too in the casino. What?
Yeah.
He just played one game for like less than 3 minutes. He won $1,200. So shout out to him, man. But this is a special episode. So, of course, we have to bring our friend from Throwdown Show, Tony Polanco. What's up, Tony?
What's going on, fellas? It's been a while, man. I mean, I talk to you guys like every day, but it's been a while since I've been on GTR. This is dope, man. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. It's going to be a very special episode.
Yeah, man. Are you behaving on Twitter? You've been good?
Yeah, I've been good. The people replying to me haven't been behaving, but I've been on my best behavior. You know, it gets crazy.
It's
out
all
there.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. What's up with the podcast, man?
No, it's doing good, man. Like, and I'll just say this right now, right? Because you're doing what was it called again, Danny? The
my session, yeah, for Finding Your Voice,
yeah,
Podcast 101, yeah.
And I've been telling people, because I, you know, I want to help you out by promoting, but I'm just telling the truth, like, because of your advice that you gave me last year when we were hanging out at Bryant Park drinking, like, I took all that to heart. Put it on my podcast, and our numbers doubled in like 2 months instantly on across all platforms. MP3, Twitch, YouTube, boom, just blew up. So, like, listen to Danny, like, get it on that session, because it's going to be crazy. But yeah, no, Throwdown's been doing good. My writing's been doing good. This year's been pretty good so far. Like, we're finally getting some games, you know, but that hasn't affected me too much, you know. And right now, Mass Effect, bro, it's my life right now, you know. So, it's been on my end, man.
No, thanks, Tony, for that, man. And yeah, it was like a casual conversation. We were just drinking, talking. I'm like, nah, Tony, you should make some changes. And look, man, that's good. That's really good to hear about that. Now, about Mass Effect, yeah, I started playing that, and I'm going to start with one first. And man, that game, like playing it, that game was so like ahead of its time, man. So good. So, so good, man. And I can't wait to play two. That's like my favorite one so far. Paris jumped all the way to two. He was like, I'll play one later. I love two. So are you far, Paris, or no?
I may never play one, to be honest with you.
Wow.
I may just do two and three, and that's it. I mean, clearly, we've played them dozens of times in the past, but two was just special to me, right? And it corrected the things that one didn't get right, and it was just a perfect package. Like I said, top three all-time game for me, for sure. Ironically enough, I feel like Mass Effect 3 was a step back from 2. Personally, wasn't as big of a fan of three. And let's be clear, all three of them are fantastic. I'm not, the trilogy as a whole even playing it now compared to games that are coming out now, it absolutely holds up. The story, the character interactions, everything, even, you know, the gameplay loops with some of the encounters are really good. You ask how far I am. I am in the middle of my loyalty missions now. That's kind of where I am. So that maybe halfway through, and that obviously depends how many planet explorations, things like that, I want to do as far as Mass Effect 2 goes. But I'm telling you right now, when I hit that Omega 4 relay, my heart's going to be racing. It does every time. Every time. Every yes. freaking time. I can't wait, man.
Yeah, this game, to me, is like the original Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
Right? So my favorite one, Empire Strikes Back, Mass Effect 2. And the third one, Return of the Jedi, that's Mass Effect 3. It's exactly the same type of vibe, man.
I agree with that. Yeah, yeah. You know, and it's funny because, you know, we've heard this saying all throughout our lives, like, this is the next Star Wars. Like, this was the next Star Wars. It really was. And in some ways, you could arguably say it did it better because it knew the pitfalls of Star Wars and Star Trek and just kind of sidestepped them. But you're right about the character interactions. Like, they feel, and again, I've played these games a million times, right? But it still feels fresh. And the impression I got when I first started playing it, because I'm playing through the first one again, and I'm like, yo, like, games haven't been this good in a while. This is just my personal opinion. I'm like, no game gives me the feel that Mass Effect does. Like, I'm just in the world. It's like I'm playing through a epic novel or something, you know? It's just so good. And I really love the changes they made for the first game. First game, I always said, I made it through that game simply because of the story and the characters, because the gameplay was not good. It was not. So this one is more, it's not like a modern sense or whatever. It's not up to those standards, even to 2 and 3. Those are played way better, but it is very, very good right now. And as for where I'm at right now, I'm at Vermeier. So Caden, bye. You're getting sacrificed, buddy. He's gone, you know, because on this one, I'm trying to get with Ashley, because I got with Liara last time, right? So getting with Ashley this time, even though she's a little bit of a racist, I'm going to try to work through that, you know, like, listen, you got to work with these aliens, you know?
It's all good. Wait, what? Didn't that game came out in 2007, right? The year with
everything,
it was like nonstop, amazing games. Yeah. BioShock, that game. Oh, man, it was crazy. Yeah,
Modern Warfare, Assassin's Creed, Uncharted. I believe Halo 3 came out that year. It was a nutty year, man.
Yeah, it was very crazy. Yeah, I wonder if we're ever gonna see something like that again.
I hope so, because we need that. We need that for sure.
definitely. All right, everyone, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for GamerTag Radio or search for Throwdown Show and subscribe. Right?
Yep.
Subscribe, follow, post a review, and then you want to send some love to Tony, man. Also follow him on Twitter. What's your Twitter account?
Oh, it's @RomuDeth, RomuDeth. And send me love and hate. I welcome it all.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So if you guys also have questions, fan mail, make sure to contact here.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. So we have this is a special episode for us because we attended the Bethesda's virtual event for their next game, which is Deathloop. It's coming out exclusively for PlayStation 5. Is this only a next-gen game? Is it coming out also on 4? Or is this
I don't think so. I think it's a next-gen only
game. No, this
game is
PS5. PS5.
Yeah.
PS5 only? Okay.
Yeah, next-gen only game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we got to check it out. By the way, I love, out of all the virtual events I've been through, I really enjoy this one. I like the setup, like how to log in and just the whole thing was just, for me personally, was really good and really well organized and everything, man. And there was also Q&A with the developers. But they also show gameplay, which we're not going to be talking about the story. Nothing about the story at all, because I want people to be surprised about this. But I really, really enjoy this game. I had no idea what this game was going to be about. But once I got to see the presentation, I got excited. It reminded me of the vibe of, like, remember this Tom Cruise movie? Edge of Tomorrow, you die, go back, and you keep on going, right? It reminded me of that type of vibe and a really fast pace. And of course, they had that Dishonored, little bit of like other Bethesda games formula, that type of vibe. So what do you guys thought about Deathloop overall, man? Let's start with Paris.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up Dishonored, like you saying a little bit. I see a lot of Dishonored in this. If anything, this is kind of a spiritual successor to Dishonored, almost like a Dishonored 3 in a way. I think one of the very important things that came out of this was, like you mentioned, Edge of Tomorrow. This is not a roguelike game. This is not Returnal. This is not what's the other part? Hades, right? This is not that type of game. Yes, you will die, you will lose progress, and you have to start over, but you will have ways to be able to kind of keep some of your progress as you go along. As far as, and when I say that, because again, I'm gonna pull up my notes. One of the things that they talked about was it's called Residium. I believe I'm saying that correctly. It's a mysterious resource that can unlock at a certain point in the game that allow you to hold on to some of the weapons, the trinkets and powers permanently across these various loops that you'll go through. So it won't be as punishing as a quote unquote roguelike game. If anything, the thing that I took from Deathloop, everything they showed us so far, it's a big giant puzzle. It's putting all of this together so that when you do go and wind up having to assassinate, you know, the 8 targets that you have, like you put it all together in one loop, so to speak, and you do it all together. And every time you die, you're learning, and you do it during different times of the day, things like that. So I love the complexity of it in that sense, but it's not just beating you over the head difficult like something like Returnal. Like there's a fun aspect to this as you basically unravel this mystery and put the puzzle pieces together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It has this power that you use also. I think it's called Nexus. That's the one that you could connect with all the enemies, and if you hit one enemy, all of them will get the same attack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That, to me personally, I think that's the one I'm going to be using the most, man, because I really enjoy that one. But what about you, Tony? What do you thought about Deathloop, man? Because I know you were super excited about this game.
Yeah, Tony, down a little bit there.
Oh, I thought you were excited.
No, I actually wasn't. Like I first saw it like whenever they revealed it. I think it was last year, right? And I was like, what is this? Because it kind of reminded me of Dishonored. I didn't really care for those games. And I believe they also did Prey, right? I was not a fan of that. So I'm like, I don't know about this. And the whole looping thing, it kind of reminded me of roguelikes. If you guys been on Twitter, you know how I feel about roguelikes. Not feeling
yeah.
them. Yeah, and like Returnal did not make a case for me. Like, I'm not dealing with this. So I love the fact that during that event, the developer specifically said, this is not a roguelike game, right? Like when you die, yes, you will lose some of the things that you did, but the levels stay exactly the same. The enemy placements stay exactly the same. They said, for example, if there's like a cowardly enemy that hides behind a crate, he will hide behind that crate every single time, you know? So the way I see it, it's kind of like just replaying games in general, right? You die and then you're like, okay, I got to approach this a little bit differently.
Exactly.
See if I could do better. But if, let's say you pick up a note or something, right? Like that gives you some information, you will get to keep that, right? And like you guys said, once you get that power source, you'll get to keep some weapons. Once you unlock something, you could just go right through. So I like the fact that dying is, obviously there's part of the challenge, but I think dying is really part of the narrative. You need to die a bunch of times so you could work things out so you could get all these 8 targets into one spot. And obviously we didn't see this, but I'm very curious to see what happens when you get everybody into the same place and like what kind of tricks, because Danny, I'm pretty sure that tether thing they did, that's just one of the abilities. You know they're going to give you crazy stuff, so it's going to be cool. Go ahead, man.
No, I'm sorry, just so I'll jump in. Some of the ones that they kind of showed off that we got to see, Reprise is actually really cool when we talk about this loop, because that allows you the ability when you die to rewind it twice. And then on the third time you die, then it'll reset the loop. So again, it's not as punishing. This is a power that you can acquire, an ability that you can acquire that allow you to make a mistake, so to speak, and go, oh, okay, don't do that the next time. All right, rewind. Let me approach it, you know, in a different way. Shift is another one which allows you to teleport across the environment, you know, very similar to something like Dishonored. I believe I'm saying this right. Ether renders cold invisible to, you know, different enemies and, you know, other things in the environment. Havoc absorbs damage, you know, from enemies, and you can throw it back at them. And Carnesis, I believe I'm saying that right.
I think that's the one.
It gives players the power to throw enemies around in any way they choose. And then, like you said, Danny, Nexus is the one where you can link people together. And then the demo they showed, they had a couple examples of that where you literally, there was like 3 different enemies, and then you tag all 3, you kill the one, and then the other 2 instantly die at the same time. So that was kind of cool.
Now, Is this okay? So I know, Tony, you mentioned about like this is part of the narrative, but is it something like that you need to die in order to unlock or find new clues to figure out how to complete this level? Or can you still discover that without dying? That's the question that
That's a good question, because we don't know that right now. Like, you know, you guys said Edge of Tomorrow, like dying is part of that narrative too. So that's the way I see it. But yeah, it'll be interesting to know, because I don't think they're going to tell us that answer. Like, can you do this game with no deaths at all? Can you do all of this? I personally get the impression that you can't, that you need to do that. I could be wrong. Maybe you could minimize how many times you have to die, because it just seems like the game worlds, because I believe there's four levels altogether, right? Four different areas of the island.
Yes.
It seems to me each area is so big, you'll need to constantly die just to see it all, you know, or even like shift things around to get it to different times of the day, all that other stuff, different weather patterns. So
that's not what I took from it. Yeah. I'm sorry, please continue your thought, because then I'll jump in.
Again, that's the impression that I got. Like, you just need to do it. Like, I would be very interested to see if you actually can, in fact, do everything in one single run. You know, I don't think so. I could be wrong. That's just the impression I got. But Paris, I want to hear what you got to say.
That's not what I took from it, actually. I took from it that technically, it is possible to go in through one loop and complete everything one time. But kind of what you're saying, like they had the example where you're going after the one target and you learned about, because you're trying to figure out who the target is, because you could go in guns blaze and kill everyone, but you don't want to do that because that's probably a recipe to die. But they talked about one scenario where you overhear a conversation between two NPCs about a safe that has some information in it. And you died in that one, but now you can come back with that information and you know, and maybe you can't get to it in that during that time of the day. You might have to shift to another time of the day to then get access to where the safe is, which gives you more information about their target so you can take them out. But you don't have to do that to be able to take the target out. If you're good enough, you literally could just go through one loop, unravel the mystery all in real time without dying and complete the game. It is possible to do that. But like you're saying, Tony, who's really going to do that? No one's really going to do that. No. It is going to take multiple deaths. You're going to learn different things as you go on, different clues, different times of the day, unlock different areas in a thing that you're a target you're trying to acquire, which will then give you information. Like as an example, I took like, say you go to one area during the day and you find out some information which could be useful to you if you come back to that same area again at night, right? And then you're able to take out the target that way. So again, that's how most people are going to wind up playing it to be able to get through the loop. But the trick to all this is you're going to learn every time you go in. So then you're going to have one continuous loop where you're like, all right, I need to go to the complex in the afternoon because that gives me this, and then I can take out the target in the evening, and then I go over to this other. Like, you're gonna have to string all these lessons learned together, and then you're just gonna have that one run at the end where you take out all eight targets, and then you break the loop, so to speak.
Yeah, you know what it kind of reminds me of, like, you know how you have like people who do speed runs and stuff. How do they get to that point? Because they need to die a million times and learn. So that's kind of what I'm taking away from it. So I'm pretty sure after you've done that, if you've beaten the game, you probably can go in and maybe do it all. But then again, wouldn't that undermine the name of the game, Death Loop? Like, or is that a meta thing? Like, you're breaking the loop from the beginning. I don't know, but we're gonna have to see. I'm not really sure, so I don't want to go too much. That's the impression I got. But yeah, it'll be really cool to see. Like, yo, can you do this game in like an hour or something like that? You know.
But remember this though, and this will be, because I do think we will definitely see speed runs come out of this. But like you said, it's gonna take after people have learned all the scenarios and understand what they need to do. But there is a variable they're throwing into Death Loop that I absolutely love. Is Juliana.
Yes.
She's the, I guess, what do you call it? The protagonist, right? Where she can show up in any scenario, whether it's AI controlled or it's another actual player, and ruin everything that you're trying to do and winds up killing you. And now you have to go start over again. So even if you know everything that you need to do, Juliana is always going to be that variable in the game that you just don't know, especially if it's another player, because now another player compared to AI is always going to be unpredictable. You just don't know what they're going to do. So that excites me too, because that just adds another layer to the gameplay, because you can't, because I guess even in the demo they show, you kind of hear her music when you know she's in the map with you. Yeah. So now your head's on a swivel. Oh, crap. Where's Juliana? I got to look out for her. What do I got to do? You know what I mean? And there's obviously a whole subplot, you know, to that storyline as well. So I'm pretty excited for this, honestly. I know it got delayed and everything, but I mean, when it does come out in September, I'm really looking forward to, like I said, tackling it like it's a puzzle, like it's a fun first person shooter puzzle with abilities and other things I can use. Cause you know, the trinkets or other, like basically mods that you can add to the weapons that you have. Yeah, all you add all that up, I think we're going to see some really fun and unique scenarios, because they're setting it up so that there's no right way to do it, right? There's multiple paths to get to the ultimate solution. So it'll definitely be interesting to see what people come up with to do all that.
Yeah, I think I think September is a perfect time to release this, right after the summer, but right before the big flood comes in.
Chaos.
In November. I think that's perfect. So I think in the end, the delay, I don't know when it was originally supposed to come out. I think delay is going to benefit this game a lot, you know, and people are going to just, they're still going to be hungry for new games, right? And this is an actual exclusive, you know, so I think it'll be good. And, you know, just to add this real quick, like I said, I wasn't interested before, but after I saw this, I'm like, yeah, this game's cool. I definitely got to play this. I'm very interested now, because I want to see just how the looping works into the narrative and, you know, how perfect can I get a run? You know, because I always love doing that in games anyway. Like, to me, the most satisfaction I get in the game is playing it the most optimal way possible. And this game, like, encourages that, too. So it'll be really cool to see that.
Yeah, that part where Paris is saying that Juliana will pop up randomly, it reminds me of Resident Evil Village, Lady D. You hear her music, and like, oh, my God, she's nearby. Where is she? Like, and you're freaking out. So it's like that type of vibe. So that's exciting, man. Very, very exciting. Now, Here's the thing that I know this question pop up a lot during the Q&A about comedy. Because this game has that comedy level. I enjoy it. I don't mind. But I know there's going to be people that don't like the type of comedy at all. Do you think, you guys think that's something that you don't mind? Because, for example, like, I love Sunset Overdrive. I love just the gameplay and everything too, right? But a lot of people are not a fans of the, like, the jokes and everything in the game. Do you guys have the same feeling about that? Like, you think it's going to be okay for you, or is that going to bother you or not? Let's go with Tony.
Yeah. And I was one of those guys too. And the time, I'm like, yo, what's up with all this comedy? Cause I guess I should have known better, just because of the kind of art style they're going for, like a 1960s type of, like, painterly type of style. But, like, I was thrown off. It was just like quips every 2 minutes. I'm like, this is a little crazy. And then going back to Mass Effect, right, that same night I was playing Mass Effect, you know, Legendary Edition, the first one, I'm like, yo, this is dead serious. There are no jokes whatsoever. I'm like, and then I thought about it more, I'm like, and I'm wondering, maybe I'm thinking too much about this, I'm like is this like the influence of the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Like, it seems like everything needs to have like a quip or a sarcastic thing in there. Obviously there's still serious games out there, like The Last of Us or whatever, but I was thrown off by that. But now that I know it's part of the game, I'll be used to it. But like you said, people in that chat, we were like, yo, this is kind of comedic, we were not expecting this. So I think it's just part of the game, you know. It, like Juliana herself, she's like, she's always quipping, you know. So that's just how it is. Hopefully, because the thing is, comedy is very subjective, right? It works for some people, doesn't work for others. But you know, obviously you have games like Borderlands where it obviously does work, but because of that art style, you kind of just expect it. This one isn't as stylistic as Borderlands or whatever, but yeah, it did throw me off a little bit, but it could work for some others, you know?
Yeah. We'll see. Cause it all depends, how much comedy within it all depends. To me, it's more of like just the experience overall. You know, there's going to be some time, there's going to be some serious moments, and there's going to be some time that it's just going to be funny, you know? So it all depends on how well they do that. And yeah, the game also reminded me, I forgot to mention, it reminds me of, it has that 007 type of vibe, like with the music and the presentation, like the old school 007, right? So what about you, Paris? What you think about the conversation about having comedy in this game or not? Do you think well balanced, in your opinion, during their presentation?
No, I was fine with it. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was kind of refreshing, the character Colt, which actually, like you mentioned, kind of James Bond, it has it. I think this is supposed to take place in the late 60s, right?
Yeah.
Right?
So it's in the 60s, Yeah.
So it does have that era, like in like Flint, James Bond, obviously the parody of Austin Powers. It has that kind of feel to it. But it also has that 70s blaxploitation with Colt. That's like the voice actor that did that. I really felt like he pulled inspiration from characters like Shaft or Superfly, right? Stuff like that from those 70s movies. Even Rudy Ray Moore, I'm forgetting the character he played, but you know what I'm talking about. The point is, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Was disappointed in Juliana, by the way, because these are both quote unquote African American. These are black protagonists that are protagonists in the game. Colt, I felt, fit that era of the style that they're going for. Juliana felt off to me. I like the character Juliana and what she was saying, the words that were coming out of her mouth. I actually thought the voice actress they got to play her didn't fit the character, if that made sense. But we'll see as we actually get our hands into the final game and get more into it. But the quips and just the back and forth that the two characters were having, like Colt, like talking to him, like all the comedic elements of that were fantastic to me. I really did enjoy that.
Yeah, I need to jump in on that because I didn't think about that. You're right, Juliana. I didn't have a problem with her voice acting. You're right. It sounded like a modern voice actress, right? Whereas Cole, he sounds like he's from the 60s. That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I never even thought about that until Paris mentioned it now.
And it's funny you mentioned that. Oh, go ahead, Danny. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, you know, I hope they release this, like, the gameplay or a new trailer online once the embargo lifts. But yeah, I never thought about that at all. Now Paris got me thinking about it.
So no, it's a good point. Yeah. This is one of the problems I had with if you guys remember that game, Firewatch, that's one of the problems I had with that game. Like,
yeah,
it was set in 1980s, but both of them sounded like people from 2010, like the same type of jokes. I'm like, whoa, like, why don't you use 80s style type of, you know, comedy? So Paris, you get that in my head now too, bro. Like, Julia, I'm like, why you sound like a 2020 woman? Yeah. You know?
Well, was there any other stuff that stood out to you guys? I also have to mention, like, I really enjoy the music. I think the music is fantastic in this game, man. So
The weapons look fun to me. Yeah. Again, when you're going to couple those with the trinkets and everything, that's going to allow you to get into some unique situations. Some of the assassinations that they were showing off in the game with some of the various NPCs, because you could do it in different unique ways, combining the weapons with abilities, almost setting traps, so to speak, with the environment too. Like one of them allowed you to take over the turret, and the turret took out the NPCs for you. So that was kind of cool. I like the fact that it's a puzzle. It's a mystery. Like you have to acquire various clues about your target and you use that to dictate the way that you're going to eventually take out that target. Right. Again, just going back to the Juliana variant that's in the game. I really think that's fun because here's the other thing. Do you remember the game, The Crossing? This is from over 10 years ago. This is probably in the mid 2000s. The Crossing was a game that was going to also blend in these PVE / PVP elements. Some of the people working on Deathloop are from that team. So that lineage is there. And that's where you have this Juliana character coming in. So I thought that was kind of cool. Cause look, shout out to the 1UP show back in the day. I remember they did a feature on that. That's just always stuck out of my head.
Old school.
Yeah. You know? Very old school, but yeah, dude, overall, I mean, like you mentioned, Danny, the music is fantastic. Again, it captures that vibe of that late 60s era going into the early 70s. Voice cast, like I said, Colt sounds great. Juliana, a little bit. I mean, could be better. I know it's in your head now, right, Tony?
Yep, it's in there, bro.
But I think the overall gameplay, what I saw looked fun as hell to me. I want to go do that, right? That's what I took from that. And I do actually think this will have some replay value to it as well, because again, there's unique ways to solving the problem. So just because I am able to beat the game and do the loop doesn't mean I can't go back. Like, okay, I had to go to this area during the morning to do it. What if I did it at night? How does that work? Can I figure it out that way? Because then you're going to want to see if there's other ways that you can start solving the problem. And like we said, with the speed run stuff and all that, that'll come into play too. Again, man, this studio, Arkane, has been putting out bangers for years that go underappreciated. So I do hope Deathloop like you said, Tony, come out in September. That's enough time for it to get room to breathe so people can discover this game and check it out, because it looks like a lot of fun. I definitely want to play it.
Yeah. I want to throw in my thoughts. Then I actually have a question for you guys about this game. It's just something I've been thinking about. But yeah, one of the things that other thing that stood out to me was the combat. I always love when games give you a choice, right? Like in the demo we saw, like you could take out enemies stealthily, or you could just go in like with guns, or ooh, my light went off, or just, you know, go in there with melee. Melee, I love melee. Like if I could conserve bullets and just, you know, slash and stuff, that'll be good. So yeah, I think the combat will be fun just because it's so varied. You know what it kind of reminds me of? Metal Gear Solid 5. In that game, you could go to any mission during different times of the day, right?
Yeah.
And just try things out because the guards are going to be different places. The weather could affect things. I don't know how deep this game's going to get into that, but I think that'll be really cool. So like I said, I'm actually a little bit more excited. But the question I have for you guys, this might be a little silly, but it's something to think about considering, you know, the type of people we kind of interact with on, or that interact with us on Twitter, right? Do you think this game being an exclusive that will not get a sequel on PlayStation will affect its sales? Because some people, because I've heard it, people are like, why should I bother getting this game if there's not going to be a sequel that I could play on my system of choice? You think that could hurt it potentially?
I don't think so, man. I don't think so because, you know, I know, for example, Sunset Overdrive came out for Xbox, right? And there's a rumor now that Part 2 might be coming out for PlayStation 5. And people they're excited. Either they'll play the old one that's already out for PC, or maybe they have an Xbox or play there, right? But now a brand new game is going to come out for the PS5, and people are going to play that too. So I don't think so, man. I think that doesn't affect like the sales. I think people, look, it's like Nintendo fans. Like when a new exclusive game comes out, they'll go out there and run it and buy it. I think PlayStation fans are also going to do the same thing. I don't see them like having a strike. I'm not buying this. This is a Bethesda game. They're not going to do that. The game looks good. Why on earth people are going to say, I'm not going to buy it because it's a Bethesda game? I think that's ridiculous. You know, the game looks fun.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you. I'm just saying I've literally heard people go, oh, it's not going to get a sequel. Oh, I'm not going to bother with this. You know, these dummies or whatever. But anyway, Powers, go on, bro.
Well, it's along what you're saying. I don't think so. I'm with Danny. I don't think this will hurt sales because it's such a small vocal minority that would openly say something like that. Because let's keep it real. The vast majority of people probably don't even realize this is a Bethesda game. And even the ones that might may not even realize that Bethesda is now a part of Xbox. Right? You know what I'm saying? So people are just going to see, oh, man, that looks cool. I'm going to go pick it up and go play it because it's fun. They're not going to worry about all those back end politics of is the sequel going to come? Is it not or whatever? They're going to focus on what's in front of them. And that's the first Deathloop, right? As far as sequels and all that go, look, they can be mad 2 years from now, or 3 years from now if a sequel winds up not coming to PlayStation. But honestly, we don't even know if that's the case. We don't 100% know that. So my advice to anyone listening to this, I wouldn't worry about what Deathloop 2 potentially could be. Worry about Deathloop 1, because if enough people don't worry about Deathloop 1, you ain't getting a Deathloop 2. Let's put it that way. So,
yeah, 100% I agree with that.
Yeah,
now,
I agree with that.
I do have a question. This might bring up some interesting conversation, but this is an exclusive for console. Your thoughts how this is going to work on PC?
Well, I can tell you already how it's going to work. Epic has a deal for it on PC. So it's going to be on the Epic Game Store. The loophole would be very similar to The Outer Worlds. Could Deathloop potentially show up on Xbox Game Pass as a subscription? It worked for The Outer Worlds, but we don't know what legalese might be in the background that's stopping that. I've said it many times before. If they can do it, Xbox is putting that on Xbox Game Pass. But the fact that they haven't said anything yet kind of makes me think no. But we'll be interesting to see.
Yes, I agree. And no, because maybe they're waiting until closer to launch. Because it will hurt the sales of the game if they say it's going to be on Game Pass. Like, it's not marketing-wise, it doesn't make sense for them to announce that. You know what I'm saying?
And
so maybe
wrong.
Closer.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking,
and
too.
And I'm wrong, by the way. It's not an Epic Store exclusive. I don't know where I got pulled that out of my tuchus. It's on Steam as well. So, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you go.
It might be coming out then for a Game Pass then. For PC only.
Potentially, unless there's something that specifically says they can't do that. Yeah, okay. It could. Yeah.
Yeah, this is what I think is going to happen. Danny, I agree with you. Because I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't this a timed exclusive? Isn't like, I might be wrong about that.
It is.
Okay. Oh, forget about it. So here's my answer. This is what's going to happen. Okay. So maybe a year and a half or whatever, a year or a little more after that, this game will come out on Xbox. It'll be on Game Pass and it'll maybe even repackage it. That's going to happen. If this is a time exclusive, forget about it. You know, it's definitely going to be coming for sure. I have no doubt about that because, you know, I think, it, you know, going back to my previous thing, I agree with you. I think it's just a vocal minority just talking all this smack or whatever. But I think the game's going to be successful, which is going to give Xbox even more of an impetus to be like, put that joint on Game Pass day one. As the instant that exclusivity runs out, it's on Game Pass. So I see that happening for sure.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Magic Spoon. We're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. Only 140 calories a serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. We've got exciting news. Magic Spoon has released a super delicious new flavor, Birthday Cake. Birthday Cake Magic Spoon will be available in a special 5-pack for a limited time only, so get it while you can. If you're listening from Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there as well. So I've talked about it before, Magic Spoon. I've been eating it. My family's been eating it. And that's the great thing about it. It's actually good for you, low sugar, everything that I've talked about before, but it tastes great. And then you mix them all together and it's really good. So I'm definitely a fan of this. I mean, I know we're doing the sponsorship and all that, but Magic Spoon is legit, man. Highly recommend it to everyone. Please go check it out. And you can do that by going to magicspoon.com/GTR to grab the new limited edition birthday cake or a custom bundle of cereal to try it today. And be sure to use our promo code GTR at checkout to save $5 off your order. This offer is now good anywhere in the US or Canada, but only when you use our code GTR at checkout. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. So remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/GTR and use the code GTR to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode of Gamertag Radio.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, one more question for me, because here's the thing. I love the DualSense controller, right? There are certain games that I think took advantage of the controller, right? And I know the most recent one, and I know you guys mentioned this multiple times, is this game Returnal. Like, it uses the DualSense pretty good, right? But I also play games like Call of Duty and other games, Apex Legends, like, it doesn't work with DualSense. It's like, it's whatever, you know? Do you think this game is going to take advantage of the DualSense controller?
They said that during the presentation. It will take advantage of the DualSense controller, and it will do some unique things with haptic feedback in that. So that's another plus having it on PlayStation 5.
Okay, that's good. All right, I think I missed that part. All right, cool. I wanted to ask, you know, just in case. That's the thing, man. I love when studios take advantage of the DualSense controller. You're not going to get that experience nowhere else. No Xbox, no Nintendo, only on PS5, right? So might as well just take advantage of that, man. You know what I'm saying? That's why I had to bring that up. Yeah. Anything else, guys, before we wrap it up?
No, the game looks dope. I'm very impressed by it now, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. And again, just for me, because like, that's a perfect time, right after summer, right before the flood of the fall. And I could just devote myself to this. And I really think the narrative is going to be very like intriguing, right? Very immersive. And I'm personally looking forward to seeing what is the best way I could play this game. You know, like I don't, when I learned from all the runs and everything, like what is the best course to take? What are the best weapons, the best tactics to use? It's going to be a lot of fun. And I think that alone gives it a lot of replay value instead of like sticking in some multiplayer that doesn't need to be in there. Although the multiplayer aspect, I didn't even touch on that. I think that is so cool that basically it's almost like a predator hunting grounds type of thing where like the other player takes over. But at the same time, it could be different. Like you'll either get a really good player that'll just take you out in 1 minute, or you just take them out because they suck. You know, so it might be interesting to see. But by the way, that happened when I played Predator Hunting Grounds at Comic-Con. Like, yo, the guy who was playing the Predator, we took him out in like 2 seconds because he was just bad. So I can see people playing as Julie being horrible or whatever, but that's going to be really cool too. And that alone is going to not only give it more replay value, but it's going to make it really fun to watch on like streams or something. Like, who is the best Deathloop player? Who is the best antagonist? You know, so it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun for sure.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Anything else, Paris? You good? You were going to say something?
No, good. I'm with Tony as far as the Juliana aspect on it. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. It takes me back in the day, you know, to Splinter Cell, Pandora, Tomorrow, and Chaos Theory with the agent versus Merc stuff. So, it's going to be a lot of fun. Look, really looking forward to that.
Yeah. I can't wait. So September 2021, like you guys said, I think that's the perfect time. Right before all the craziness starts releasing later this year. And honestly, speaking about games, man, I think even though a lot of games got delayed, I think so far this year has been good with games, man. I've been having a blast with all these games that are coming out, especially new ones. You know, I'm having fun with Resident Evil. I know you guys are having fun with Returnal. Ratchet & Clank is coming out in June. I think this is a decent year, man. Even besides all those games getting delayed, I think this has been good. Good year so far in games.
Yep, I agree. So,
I kind of disagree.
Like, really? Because
most of the games I've played have been old games. So I'm like, where are these games? Like when I played Resident Evil 8, I'm like, oh my God, I'm actually playing something new. That's good. Because like before that, I did get that from Returnal, but then like 30 hours later, I'm like, but I think Returnal was the first new game I played this year. Like I can't count of Valhalla because that was an old game when it came out. But yeah, like for me, it's been dry. So I'm like, this is good. We're finally getting some games. So that's been my experience because I don't really play Switch like that. I know Nintendo Switch has like Monster Hunter Rise or whatever, but I'm waiting for the PC version of that. And then, yeah, it's just I've been very vocal on Twitter. I'm like, yo, where are these games at? So I'm glad we're finally getting this game. And then Ratchet & Clank is coming out next month. So, but I told this to you, Paris, like I don't mind these game delays because when the games do come out, they're going to be packed and we're going to, you know, be swimming in them. So that's not too bad. But yeah, me personally, it's been kind of dry at my end.
Interesting. Okay. All right. You were going to say something, Paris? It looked like
It was funny that he's saying that because I guess I'm just going through in my head, just thinking about things, new games that I've played this year. The Medium probably kicked it off. Like you were saying, Returnal, obviously Ratchet & Clank's about to happen. Biomutant, we may or may not be playing right now. You know, then obviously we're talking about Deathloop now. I guess I don't feel like it's been dry. I guess I don't feel that way, but I do get your point because when you really think about it, I have been either continuing to play things that I was playing from 2020 or I've been hitting the back catalog of old stuff, especially with things hitting Game Pass and all that. So I guess you're right, but it doesn't feel that way. I guess that's the best way to put it, where there have been other years where we've definitely had a lot more newer titles coming out in the first half of the year. And this year it's been a little lighter. But I guess even the new games that I have played or the ones that we know are about to drop, they all look like gems. So, I think under the circumstances of this pandemic, I think they've done a pretty good job of being able to still have a decent amount of games out this year.
Yeah. And I hope. Later this year, the Ninja Turtles game.
Oh, dude, yes, they said this year. Yeah, I don't know what day, but that's gonna be good. By the way, I completely forgot because I steamrolled through this game mad fast for the review. Outriders came out this year.
I knew it was something. I'm like, Outriders, and obviously MLB The Show, the new one of that came out. So there's definitely been stuff.
There's been stuff, and I think you it's a good point. It's like even like I said, even though it has been dry, considering all the not only the you know the whole pandemic situation, but the whole chip situation, you know, with consoles and all that.
Yeah,
it's actually considering all that. Yes, it has been a decent year because we at least get one new game a month. I was just mostly speaking for myself because I'm like, I didn't play the Medium, I didn't play a lot of this stuff, but yeah, it's considering how things are right now, it hasn't been as bad, but now the floodgates are going to open, so it's going to be good. I can't wait for Ratchet & Clank. Oh my god, it's going to be so good.
Hey, I'm excited. Yeah, I I got to talk to Paris about the preview event, and man, he got me even more hype. You know, and I got to see the footage of the gameplay footage. Oof. Like Paris said, it looks like a Pixar movie, straight up.
Yeah, go watch Paris's video. It's excellent video. Go check that out.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. All right, everyone, head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes, and you can also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Make sure to follow us, subscribe, post a review. And whenever you get the chance, also search for a Throwdown Show. Great podcast. They always have debates. Always have listeners' questions there, right? Kind of like similar to us with fan mail. And yeah, if you guys have questions and comments, make sure to contact us. And here's how.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. Tony, thank you so much, man, for joining us, man. You know, we always bring Tony here, special moments, special episodes, man. You know, and I hope we could come back and we could do this again in the future, man.
Yeah, no, this is great. You know, always fun talking to you guys. You know, again, we talk all the time, but now we're doing it a little bit more formal. I got to watch my mouth, you know, on this podcast. You know what I'm saying?
But, dying to say something right now.
Yeah, no, I'm good right now. But no, this is a lot of fun. And Paris, this is something, you know, we talked about off air. Like, yo, guys, get ready. This summer's going to be filled with events. You're going to see us all over the place. You know what I'm saying? So any other things come up, I'll definitely be on. I got to get you guys back on Throwdown. You know what I'm saying? And it'll be good. And again, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm Romudeth. That's R-O-M-U-D-T-H. And in my bio, links to all the plays I write for. I write for PC Mag, Laptop Mag. And as Danny said, Throwdown Show, two words, Throwdown Show, literally any podcast app on earth. We are in places I don't even know about. You know what I'm saying? Because audio film just puts you everywhere. You know, I'm like, I didn't know we were there. I didn't know we were there. That's dope, you know? And obviously we're on YouTube, and Twitch is on Thursdays and Sunday nights, 10:30 p.m. Eastern live. 10:30-ish, you know, we're minorities on our show. We're a little late sometimes, you know, like 10:45 or whatever. Thursdays when we do like a show like regular GTR, we talk about the news. And then Sunday, the crazy fan questions, you know. It's always good, man. So again, thanks for having me on, and I'll be back next time.
Hell yeah. And the best part, follow Tony, because if you want some entertainment, when he asks these random tweets and you see... Just read the thread. Oh, it's pure entertainment. Yeah.
Like, pure I say one thing and I just let it go.
Definitely. Pat, you want to say anything before we wrap it up? You good?
No, of course, Tony, as always, man. We're always glad when you get to come on. And like you said, the three of us pretty much talk every day offline anyway. So this kind of might give everyone a little insight into how we talk privately. But it's always a good time. Always love talking gaming with you, man. And I'm always learning from you, and it's fantastic, man.
I love it.
Definitely. Not
love
Danny, though. I don't learn nothing.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. But thank you for listening. Until next time, we're out. Peace. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.